Your potential clients are looking more than just a designer. They want a partner who understands their vision, and objections are a natural part of the sales process. Instead of fearing them, embrace objections as opportunities to showcase your expertise. Bring them up before your clients do. If you think they'll be concerned about the price, mention it first. If you think they will say you're too expensive, you say it first. We are a high-end agency and our cost is more than what you'll get from others because of this and that. You bring up the objections first. Welcome to the Profitable Graphic Designer Podcast. I'm Katie Sandel, brand strategist, designer, and the CEO of a successful six-figure design agency. I teach brand, graphic, and web designers how to get more clients, increase their pricing, and build profitable design businesses in a simple and sustainable way. We have online programs, courses, and templates that you can use, as well as our coaching and mastermind high-touch experience for creatives. You can find out more about starting and growing your design business at aventiveacademy.com. But until then, grab a cup of coffee and join me in today's podcast episode. You clicked on today's episode, on the title actually, for a reason. And the reason is that you're not closing enough deals or not as much as you would like, and you would like to increase your revenue, right? Well, today we are diving deep into a topic that can significantly impact your bottom line: effective sales strategies for graphic, brand, and web design business owners. Whether you're just starting out or looking to boost your revenue, mastering the art of closing deals is essential, and it's something that we've never been taught before. So let's start by understanding the sales process. It's not just about pushing your, you know, like product or service. And I'm saying products because there are many designers who have their products, such as maybe they're selling illustrations or they have physical products like mugs and notebooks and their designs are on top of it. So that's why I'm using the word products as well. But what I want to say is that sales are all about building relationships and solving problems. Begin by really understanding your client's needs, pain points, and goals. And I know it's easier said than done, and I've heard this so many times, especially when I was first starting out. People would tell me, like, you have to understand clients' needs. And I'm like, but they need a logo design. They need a website design. They need, you know, this flyer, or they need this book cover. But they actually do not need that. And we'll talk about it in a second. Then pain points. What are their real challenges? Is there a real problem that they don't have packaging design or labels? Or their real problem is that they're not making enough sales of their product if you're working with product-based businesses? So you really have to understand your client's needs, pain points, and goals. And this knowledge will be the foundation of your sales approach. Like, really. And I know it can sound like confusing, but once you understand that, it will be easier for you to write sales copy, to write everything for your website, for your social media. Like, all the content all of a sudden becomes so much easier. And you may have heard me talking about this, and I always talk about this. I feel like I mentioned this in every other podcast episode and in every other social media post, but your clients are not looking for a website. They're not looking for a logo design. They're not looking for packaging design. They're not looking for business cards. Yes, that is something that they need, but their goals are actually to get more clients, sell more products, get more customers to the door, depending on who your clients are, right? So those are the real goals. And so, for example, when you're posting on social media, your goal is not to post on social media. Your goal is to get a design client, right? When you make changes to your website, your goal is not to make changes to your website. Your goal is to get a client by, you know, improving your website. When you make changes to your portfolio, when you're trying to, you know, add more case studies, add descriptions, use mockups, your goal is not to have an amazing portfolio piece. Your goal is to get a client through that amazing portfolio piece. So you have to think about the end and higher goals than just the tangibles, than just the designs that you're going to deliver to your clients. Because again, they're not looking for your logo design or your packaging or your website. They're looking for bigger results. And that is usually that they're trying to grow their own business. Now let's talk about nurturing leads and building trust. Your potential clients are looking for more than just a designer. They want a partner who understands their vision. So use content marketing to showcase your expertise, either that's through blog posts or case studies or social media. Like, really valuable content positions you as an authority, as the leader, and helps potential clients trust your abilities. So, you know, you can offer like some kind of free resource to get to know your customers, and you actually want them to get to know you. So you can offer like free ebooks or webinars related to, I don't know, something design related or branding tips. And this not only showcases your knowledge, but also encourages like prospects to engage with your brand. Like, building trust takes time, but it's so valuable, and you have to invest that time. Like, there are so many people who I've been connected with for many, many years on LinkedIn, and they're just now coming to me asking for brand strategy, visual identity, some graphic and web design, copywriting. It takes time. I'm building trust, you know, all these years. I started my graphic design career when I was 15. I'm 33 now. And I started freelancing in 2005, I believe. And so, you know, it's been this like 8-9 years of me going from being a freelancer to now running my design agency here in Austin. But it's really like how I got here is by really nurturing those leads and building trust and getting more and more clients. And it simply takes time. You know, when you're at the beginning, you maybe get like a couple of clients here and there, but the more connections you have, the more people you have in your circle or around that circle, and, you know, getting referrals and posting on social media and having people like, you know, follow you and connect with you, and they will see that you're constantly into that design and business world. And as soon as they need you, they will contact you. As soon as they need the graphic brand or web designer, they will contact you over all other designers. And not just that, but if they hear that someone else is looking for a graphic designer, they're going to think of you because they will see that you're around, that you care, that you're nurturing them. Like, it's so, so valuable to constantly create content. And, you know, that positions you as an authority. And I know that sometimes, you know, it takes time to create content, but even posting just once a week on LinkedIn is enough. If you're trying to, you know, of course, I would suggest posting more. But if you don't have time, if you're busy, I mean, you can always hire a social media manager. And like, you really have to figure out how you're going to nurture your leads and build that trust. And why I'm talking about nurturing leads and building trust? Because when someone trusts you, it's easy to close the deal. It's easy to sell to them without even selling. You would basically just tell them, yes, this is what I have for you. This is how much it is. They already trust you. And there's really like no sales process. It's so easy to get a client who's been following you or has been around for quite some time than someone who's just a call lead on Instagram, like DMing you how much for a logo. So you want to really put effort and time into being in front of your future or current potential clients. Now, let's talk about the next thing, and that is customized solutions. So providing customized solutions means that, you know, every client is unique. So when you're writing proposals, make sure that those proposals are written for their specific needs. And you may have heard me talking about, oh, you can have a proposal template and then just adjust it and make changes to it. And yes, I 100% stand by that. Like, you do have to have a proposal template and then just make small changes here and there. But that goes back to knowing exactly who your ideal client is and what you offer. Let's say that your ideal client is a yoga studio. You know exactly that they're looking for, let's say, brand strategy, visual identity, and the website design. So you already have that in your proposal, and you have outlined the steps, you have outlined the timeline, like every single thing. And then when a new lead comes in and it's a yoga studio or a gym or, you know, something that's like very similar, you just make small changes. You make changes to dates, to price, to maybe like turn around, who's going to be on your team and like whatnot, but you don't have to make many changes. However, every single proposal really needs to look like it's for their specific needs. What you really want to do is avoid a one-size-fits-all approach. So that means, you know, like you've seen those like logo templates, website templates, and so on. And people that are coming to you, they're not looking for templates. They're not looking for, you know, something that's been pre-made. They're looking for a custom solution. They're looking for a designer who's going to design something for their business, for their specific needs. So you really just want to avoid, as mentioned, a one-size-fits-all approach. And you really want to focus on showcasing how your designs will solve their problems and like really get to those goals and, you know, like the goals that we talked about at the beginning. And again, that's not just the designs. That is like something that's higher than that. Either that's to grow their business, to get more customers, get more leads, make more product sales, and so on. So, you know, and also I want to mention that a personalized touch can make all the difference in convincing a potential client to choose your services over others. So just make sure that in your proposal, you use the words that maybe they used on the call or via email. You can always do like, this proposal is for, and then use their either their company name or their name. And then you can say, you can even have like a small paragraph. And this is what we have in my branding and design agency in our proposals about. And then you have like a summary of like about that client. So if that's a yoga studio, you can be like, so this and that yoga studio is trying to get more customers. This is what they've been working on, but this is what they're lacking. This is what, you know, their goals are. And then the client will see that that proposal is for their specific needs and it's written just for them, even though all yoga studios really have the same goals, right? And you can always use ChatGPT to help you with that. These kind of proposals will really help you sell quicker and will make people feel like you're talking with them only and directly to them, and they will start like trusting you and they will say yes easily. So, you know, just make sure everything looks like it's custom and just for them, and they will feel like they will know that you are the one, because there are so many designers who would just send them like one page proposal. This is how much logo is, this is how much website is, and this is what's included. Well, that's not it. They want something more and you can offer that more. Okay, let's talk about the power of social proof. So positive reviews, testimonials, and case studies from satisfied clients are like gold in the world of sales. They provide evidence of your ability to deliver results. So your goal in your design business is to get as many reviews, testimonials, and, you know, case studies as possible. And then you will want to put them all over the internet. So you want to have them on your website and even like on multiple pages, not just like on your homepage or about or contact. Like you want to have them like everywhere, and then on social media and even in your sales conversations. Like when you're talking to a client, let's say on a call or Zoom call these days, right? And you can share. So for example, 2 months ago, we were working on a very similar project to yours, and it was also like a supplement company, vitamins, you know, kind of like just mention something like that. And I mean, don't lie, just talk like if that's true and if you really worked on similar client project. And then you can, like, that really helps because then they see that you have worked with someone who is in a very similar industry. And that's just one example. Let me give you another one. If you have never worked in the same industry as your potential client. So let's say your potential client is, they're starting a clothing brand and you have never worked with a clothing brand. You can just say, oh, we just completed the project for whatever. And you don't even have to say who it was for, but basically we just completed a very similar project. We delivered logo design and the website, and they started seeing like results for their business. Their business is growing. A lot more people are converting into customers, you know, kind of like just prove that you are the right person. Like really, you need that social proof. And when prospects see that others have had a great experience working with you, they'll be more inclined to trust you and move forward with a deal. Like they really want to see those testimonials. Like the same is like when you're looking for a restaurant, right? So you're looking for a restaurant, or you want to go somewhere for a cocktail or a coffee shop or whatever it is. You're going to go to Google Maps and you're going to look into the Google reviews or Yelp or whatever it is. Same when you're buying something on Amazon. So it's like literally completely the same for you. People want to see that you have testimonials, that you have reviews, and that you have worked with clients in the past and that everything was successfully delivered. And they, you know, that's what's going to help them trust you more. And it's going to be easier for you to sell your services. Now, when it comes to overcoming like objections with confidence, like I want to have a lot of confidence. So objections are simply a natural part of the sales process. You know, instead of fearing them, like really embrace objections as opportunities to showcase your expertise. Sometimes when I'm on a sales call, and yeah, you can call them discovery calls. You can call them however you want. At the end of the day, those are sales calls. So when I'm on a sales call and when I'm talking to a client, to a potential client, I would sometimes even like bring up some things that I might think would be an objection. So for example, if I know that they are in a rush, and if I feel or know that they would like this project completed by yesterday, I would bring that up on my own, by myself, without waiting for them to tell me, hey, I need this website done in 2 weeks. And the way I would do that is I would literally tell them, like, we can complete a website in about like 2 to 3 weeks, but I would not suggest that because then we don't have enough time to do the research, to properly write the content, to make the designs for, you know, like all the pages and then also development. And then what's going to happen in a couple of months, you will need to completely redo your website and you're going to just spend a lot more time and money, and the website will not convert as much as, you know, a website, you know, a good website would. So like really realistic time for building a website that is going to work, that is going to bring results to your business, is 2 months. So that way, I literally just talked about some like objections that they had in their mind. The same is like if they have like money objections, they are going to question. The same when you're working, if you're looking for, let's say, a social media strategist, and when they tell you, oh, it's going to cost $2,000 a month, you're going to question why. Why is it $2,000 a month? Maybe you have $2,000. Maybe that was your budget, but you still want to know why, you know? So don't feel like clients are attacking you. They just want to understand. What I want to say with that is that if and when they have like money objections, you don't have to like justify anything. You just have to explain why it costs that much. If your website, like if you send them a quote for $15,000, $10,000, whatever, $25,000 for a website, explain to them why the cost is that much. Like what exactly they're getting from you, and not in terms of homepage, about page, service page, portfolio page, contact page, blog, whatever. I'm not talking about the details when it comes to that, but like talk about higher goals, talk about conversions, talk about, you know, helping them grow their business. Like you really want to figure out how to overcome those objections by bringing up the things that you might think that they would bring up. Hope that this was easy to understand, but what I'm saying is that if something seems like it's too expensive for them, just explain why. Like, yeah, this is our price because we believe in the quality of service that we provide. We've been working with this many and whatever clients, and we've been in the business for this many years. This is what, you know, the solution to your problem is. This is how you're going to get to your goals. And it's so easy. Like, you don't have to like argue with them or anything like that. Like, really try to put yourself in their shoes. Like, don't stand like against them, and don't be across of them. Try to be their partner. Try to be their best friend. Like, how would their best friend explain why something costs that much? Okay, so understanding their objections like really allows you to provide like tailored solutions with ease, that ease their worries. Like whether it's concerns about budgets, timelines, or maybe design preferences. Like your ability to handle objections professionally can set you apart from competitors. A lot of designers are still so focused on the deliverables, and a lot of people, like a lot of clients, simply don't see the difference between, you know, like you, me, Nicole, Suzanne, James. Like, but if you are talking about the end results, and if you know how to overcome objections with confidence, you will be able to close more deals and increase your revenue. So now when I already mentioned the deal, let's talk about the art of closing the deal. So let's say you've done everything we just talked about. Your clients, your potential clients found you, let's say online somewhere through, I don't know, LinkedIn, they went to your website, they saw your expertise, your design abilities, they talked about you, you addressed all the objections, and it's time to seal the deal. So guide the conversation toward the next step, like clearly outlining the process from contract signing to project kickoff. So basically, you want to tell them what exactly the next steps are. You're going to tell them, so I'm going to send you an invoice, or I'm going to send you an official proposal for you to sign, or, you know, you have to pay in a nicer way. Once I get 50% down payment, then we can start working on your project. It's going to take 3 weeks for this. It's going to take 2 weeks for this. Once we do that, then we're going to do that. Like, you want to make sure that they know exactly what's going to happen next, because that simply, again, builds trust in you and in your like capabilities, like that you will be able to deliver what they're looking for. You can also create a sense of urgency without being pushy. So you can like tell them that you will not be available to work on this project, let's say in 2 or 3 months, or you can say that you will be able to start working on this project in 2 weeks because you're booked out before and after that. So you want to make, and what I'm saying here is like you want them to pay as soon as possible. So that is kind of like the sense of urgency, like you want them to work with you and you want them to commit as soon as possible. Like I'm not saying to offer incentives like limited time discounts or exclusive add-ons, and you know, that's just doesn't seem right. Like especially if you're a high-end designer, if you're charging $20,000 for visual identity and now all of a sudden, oh, you're gonna get $500 off, like no, do not do that. And you always want to end the conversation with a clear call to action, whether it's signing a contract or scheduling the next meeting or, you know, making them pay or whatever it is. Like really, like you want them to know what the next steps are, and you want to have that clear call to action. Now, I also want you to remember that closing a deal isn't about like manipulation. Like I don't want you to try to manipulate them, and I don't want your clients to feel like they were manipulated or they were forced into something, that they made a decision without, you know, thinking about it. So you don't have to like push anything. You can even tell them, I'm going to send you an invoice. You have, you know, give them a week or 10 days to pay for it, to secure your spot, because I can't guarantee my availability after that. You know, like simply, like maybe you'll get 3 more clients by the end of next week and you won't be able to accept them anymore. So explain it that way. Like you really want to demonstrate how your design services can gently benefit your client's business, and you don't want to just like push them into, you know, making a payment for something and then thinking about it where they go back like home or talk to their spouse or family and friends and think like, oh, maybe I made a mistake. You know, like you don't want to put your clients into that, but you really have to think about how you're going to close the deal, how you're going to stand out, and how you can be different from all other designers and what they say on their sales calls. So yeah, I hope that this episode was helpful to you. But overall, if you want to elevate your sales game, like if you want to like master effective sales strategies, it really, you know, takes time and it's all practice. You need to try to get as many leads as possible so that you can practice. You will not be able to, you know, close all the deals at the beginning, like not even later. Even now, I still don't close all the deals, but most of the time those deals that I don't close them not because of me, but because of simply like not qualified leads. I'm trying to really like filter our leads. And so for example, on our website now we say that our minimum is 8,000. So the minimum level of engagement is $8,000 because we don't want to get like cheaper clients than that. So that's how we are filtering leads. And you know, like even like last year or 2 years ago, we were still getting like clients like, how much is a website? And I'm like, oh, this is just not the right lead. And what I want to say is like, you really have to figure out how you're going to get the right leads and then how to make sales. But it takes time and it takes practice. Like, again, you just want to get as many leads as possible so that you can practice. But then mastering effective sales strategies like really is a journey that involves understanding your clients, building trust, providing personalized solutions, showcasing social proof, overcoming objections, and really confidently closing deals. And by elevating your sales game, you'll not only increase your revenue, but also create lasting partnerships with clients who appreciate the value you bring to their brand, and they will send you referrals. We are getting referrals all the time from our past clients, from our current clients. So yeah, go out there and apply these strategies to your own graphic brand or web design business. And I hope to see you in the next episode. Bye. Thank you for joining us today on The Profitable Graphic Designer. In addition to this podcast, we have created some amazing online courses to help you set up your business, get more clients, and scale to the income level you desire. If you need help developing your graphic brand or web portfolio so it stands out, if you want to learn how to create proposals new clients will say yes to, if you're still trying to figure out how much to charge for your services, and if becoming the go-to designer for your dream clients is your goal this year, then I invite you to enroll in my signature 12-week program, The Profitable Designer, or one of our other specialized online courses. To learn more about it and get started, visit AventiveAcademy.com. See you next time.